Rice found a new genre of racialized song and dance. They called it blackface minstrel shows, and he traveled around doing it. And then other white performers in blackface traveled around, and they played characters that perpetuated a range of negative stereotypes about African Americans, including being lazy, ignorant, superstitious, hypersexual, criminal, or cowardly. And these minstrel shows became popular entertainment throughout the U.S. Hi, welcome to the Shrinks on Third Psychology and Social Justice Podcast. I'm psychologist Cindy Ariel.
And I'm psychologist Julie Mayer. And today, Cindy and I are going to talk about blackface. You've probably seen it in the news within the last few years here and there. Some recent examples are Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia. There were pictures of him in blackface for a Halloween party not that long ago.
Yes.
And there were plenty of other political types whose photos then were kind of dug out of the ether and posted all over Facebook. And it is an interesting question about why would a politician wear blackface? So we're going to explore this a little more. But
or anybody.
Why would anybody, but a politician who knows anything they do is going to be put out there in public to be judged.
Well, they're supposed to, yeah. Supposed to know that.
They don't always seem to. You're right. You know, even maybe Hollywood stars that we really like Billy Crystal, you know, in 2012 at the Oscars, he played Sammy Davis Jr. and he put on blackface to do it. And Jimmy Fallon played Chris Rock on Saturday Night Live and put on blackface. But other actors, Robert Downey Jr., Gene Wilder, even Joni Mitchell put on blackface. So what is going on? What is it? And what is the problem with it? And how did it become a thing? And why is it racist?
I looked it up. A little history. Okay, so blackface dates back to old European theatrical productions. Would you believe Shakespeare?
The one I think of is Othello.
But they were acted with an actor in blackface. So it wasn't in the United States until the 18th century when European immigrants performed in seaports along the Northeast. But people think of it mostly as being from the early 19th century because after the Civil War, it really grew in popularity when demands for civil rights by recently emancipated slaves triggered racial hostility and more white performers played characters that demeaned and dehumanized African Americans.
Wait, so that means that blackface was purposely used at that point to make fun of African American people, to put them down.
Yes, yes. So people would darken their skin with shoe polish, grease paint, or burnt cork, and they would paint on like enlarged lips and exaggerate, you know, features. And today, because of blackface's historic use to denigrate people of African descent, its continued use is considered racist. So we can talk more about that because a lot of people don't necessarily understand it, but it's racist even when you don't think it's racist. So we got to get into that in a minute.
Yeah, I think that's a really important topic because it feels like a topic that has to do with white privilege and how white people can take for granted things that maybe African-American people can't. So we have to talk about that.
Exactly. So we can just get a little through the history and then we will talk about that.
So how did the whole thing become popularized in the United States?
Yeah, so that's really important because one of the guys who popularized it, Thomas Dartmouth Rice, who I never heard of, but he was an actor born in New York and he traveled to the South and he observed slaves. And then he developed a black stage character called, you won't believe this, Jim Crow in 1830. So did you know that that's where the name Jim Crow came from?
I had no idea. I just learned that. I can't believe that we have used that name in such, I mean, it really signifies a racism. And here it is, this guy who dressed up in blackface made up that name. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I always thought Jim Crow was some racist plantation owner or a politician or someone like that. But he was a fictional character. He was this guy Rice's character. He was a dancing fool. He had like quick dance moves, exaggerated dialect. He acted like a clown. So through the character of Jim Crow, Rice found a new genre of racialized song and dance. They called it blackface minstrel shows, and he traveled around doing it. And then other white performers in blackface traveled around, and they played characters that perpetuated a range of negative stereotypes about African Americans, including being lazy, ignorant, superstitious, hypersexual, criminal, or cowardly. And these minstrel shows became popular entertainment throughout the U.S.
Wow, I just have to think about that for a second. So this guy Rice comes up with this character, and he sort of develops a new branch of entertainment, which is blackface minstrel shows, and it takes off, and more people start doing it.
Yes.
Wow.
And so one thing that shocked me, besides all that, so when I was looking this up, there was a picture of one of my favorite actresses when I was young, Shirley Temple. She was so cute, and I loved all her singing and dancing and her shows, and she wears blackface. There was a picture of her wearing blackface.
Wow.
And I loved her, and she seemed so sweet and innocent, and I was young and sweet and innocent, so what did I know? But this is a great example, I think, of how the racism was woven into our upbringing as a white child, I guess, in a way that I would have no idea. She was just cute, having fun, but wearing blackface.
Well, and I know people adored Shirley Temple, so pretty much anything she did was absolutely cute, and often people wanted to be like her. Little girls wanted to be like her, so if she wore blackface, how could you think it was anything but adorable on her, you know?
Exactly, but now we can look back and see that it was mocking and dehumanizing, even when she did it. And it was, in a way, an attempt to, like, assert white superiority.
I have to say, I can't imagine that was Shirley Temple's objective. I'm sure she was just doing whatever the film people were telling her to do.
She was so young. She probably had no idea.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. She did what they told her to do.
But, you know, it's basically what we're saying that is that at the time in Hollywood, this was accepted protocol, and no one stopped to think, am I offending people? And if they did, maybe they didn't care because the people they were offending were African-American people and they didn't care about them.
Probably so.
Yeah. And another example is the horrible big movie Birth of a Nation, where blackface, you know, it became really clear. They were using it to show characters who were bad people, who were rapists. And the stereotype was used by the KKK to help them recruit new members. That's what that film was for. And even though it was such a racist film, it continued to be really popular with white audiences. And I know it's had a little bit of a resurgence lately. We need to understand it better. I mean, it sounds like until recently, racism of this kind, the blackface making fun of black people, was just part of the world of entertainment in this country. And many, many people thought it was just fine. But we're talking about it because there are a lot of people offended by it now. And maybe we should all be offended by it now. And so let's dig into it a little more.
Well, I think we should all be offended by it, Julie. I mean, it is rooted in racism. The demeaning portrayals of African Americans were most popular during a period when Southern state legislatures were passing so-called black codes to restrict the behavior of former slaves and other African Americans. In fact, the codes were also called Jim Crow laws after the blackface stage character, that dancing fool.
Yeah.
So blackface changed over time, moving into theaters and the film industry, and even being used as the white supremacist propaganda, including in the movie you just mentioned, Birth of a Nation. And African Americans also performed in blackface because at first it was the only way to be in the entertainment industry. But they would infuse satire and offer a more intelligent representation. So they would at least get that in there.
Yeah, that's really interesting because it sounds like African Americans found a way to take it over and make it their own, sort of like they've done with the N-word. I don't think that's unusual that a group can take ownership of a racial or ethnic slur that is typically used against it and kind of turn it into something that belongs to them and that can be humorous. And obviously, to have any chance of participating in the American entertainment industry, that's what they had to do, I mean, just to get work. So they also performed in blackface. Amazing.
Yeah, that's a lot to think about.
It is.
So the appeal of blackface did decline after the 1930s and into the civil rights movement. But the negative stereotypes of African Americans and mocking of dark skin have clearly persisted. For example, like you mentioned earlier, blackface appeared even in the 2012 Oscars ceremony and television skits, and more recently in various places.
So I do think that now most people agree that blackface is offensive and wouldn't do it. And that's why when those pictures of Ralph Northam surfaced, everyone was shocked and horrified, which is what they should be. Like everything else, blackface has transformed itself into updated ways that we stereotype people of color in the entertainment industry. So blackface is no longer accepted. But if you think about it, instead of blackface, you know, we portray black people as criminals, as frightening people, as the bad guy, as thugs in movies and TV and on social media. Maybe it's a little more subtle than it used to be with blackface, and we don't only portray them negatively. I think there's been a lot of shows where, you know, movies, films, TV, where that's changed and it isn't like that, but we still have plenty where we use stereotypes in the film industry and it impacts how society sees people.
For sure.
So I guess the question is, what can be done? What do we do now? Now that it's really clear that dressing up in blackface is an offensive thing, what can we do to be more aware of racist attitudes that are sort of publicly disseminated? And like I said, trends and ways to be racist shift and change as time passes. And I like to think we're becoming more enlightened. I mean, we don't think blackface is acceptable now. Like back when Shirley Temple was wearing it, we thought it was okay. But sometimes we also move backwards as a nation. And it does seem like some of our citizens have lately, like I said, Birth of a Nation's become a little more popular again, been dragged out of the past. So blackface is clearly offensive and we all need to agree that it's inappropriate to use it for any reason. And that's it. We just have to say it offends people, so it's not okay to do it, even as a joke.
That's right. Blackface, even today, is often popular on college campuses, not just at Halloween, but at parties and fraternity events. Here in Philly, the mummers, there's always mummers who are in blackface. And with Halloween coming up, I just want to say wearing blackface to dress up as famous African Americans remains an ongoing issue. Here's a tip. Don't do it. Don't wear blackface.
You can dress up as Michael Jackson if you want and put on a shiny glove and skinny jeans, but you don't need to make your face black. People will know who you are if you're white and you're dressed up as Michael Jackson. And the blackface itself would be offensive.
Right. Any color face you wear that isn't yours is considered racist. So dressing up in black or brown face has been entertaining to a lot of white people, but it's been demeaning and offensive to people of color. So we have to listen to that. Even if all of this didn't convince you and you still don't think it's racist for some reason, it's offensive to others, and that should be enough to change our behavior. You don't always have to understand it, but you do have to think hard about what's making it so difficult for you to understand this if you don't.
Yeah, I like to think that people don't want to purposely offend others or insult them, so don't.
Yeah, you know, you can honor a famous or beloved Black person by dressing up as them for Halloween without coloring your face. Black people don't color their faces white when they dress up as white people. There are a lot of cues outside of skin color that let people know who you're supposed to be.
Right. Absolutely. That's a good point. Skin color should be less important than it is in this country. That's just a fact. And someday it will not be an issue, power and politics, but just a feature that isn't used to discriminate or demean others. It's just a thing. But in the meantime, it isn't hard to be respectful of others. So tell your kids and friends, suggest other ways than blackface that they can dress up as their favorite music or sports idol or whoever happens to be an African-American or a Black person, but just don't make your face black.
And there you go. Thanks for listening.
If you're interested in this subject and you want to learn a little more, Cindy, what should people do?
Well, among other places, if you're interested in learning more about blackface, you can read about it documented in the Smithsonian National Museum of African-American History and Culture's official blackface history page.
They have a page. Wow. That's cool.
They do. They have a lot of great pages. I often go there, and I also recommend everybody else going there. And yeah, thank you for hearing our talk about blackface today. You can reach out to the Shrinks on Third at shrinksonthird@gmail.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Shrinks on Third.
Great. Thanks for joining us. Till next time.
Take care.